joint finance committee finished up work on the state budget last night, and now the $76 billion budget proposal goes to the full assembly and Senate. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We will get an overview of the state budget proposal this hour, from taxes to road funding to education funding, with our first guest. And then in our second half, we will welcome in two lawmakers who sit on the Joint Finance Committee to get further explanation and reaction. And we will welcome your questions and reactions, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let me welcome our first guest. Stephen Walters is here, senior producer for Wisconsin Eye, former Capital Bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Good morning.
Joy, good morning. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for joining us. I know that you were following the work of the Joint Finance Committee last night on Wisconsin Eye.
So, yes.
They finished up work on the budget. Final action was on taxes. So let's start there. Lawmakers voted to reject Governor Walker's proposed income and sales tax cuts. And they also rejected an increase to the earned income tax credit. So let's talk first. Why didn't the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee want to go along with a $200 million income tax cut?
Well, because driven by the two CPAs, Representative Cuenga and Senator Howard Markline, they really felt that we should make a down payment on getting rid of the personal property tax. So there, the final motion yesterday, which I have in front of me, the omnibus motion, said basically, instead of the governor's $203 million income tax cut, let's go with $74.4 million a year to begin to get rid of the personal property tax paid by, as Senator Darling said in her closing remarks, small businesses. So that's why they scrapped that. They also did away with the alternative minimum tax. That was a priority of Representative Cuenga. And so that's kind of the dynamic. Let's not go with the governor's income tax cut. Let's get rid of the personal property tax.
You know, the personal property tax is kind of a confusing phrase. And you said it's paid by small businesses. But what exactly is the personal property tax? It's not something I am paying on my house. It's what businesses pay on furniture in their offices or something?
Let me read from the motion yesterday. We would exempt machinery, tools, and patterns and other manufacturing property. So, again, machinery, tools, and patterns that were not manufacturing property in 2017. So, yes, this has been called a burden on our small businesses to compute it. And it's been said some municipalities don't do aren't as arduous in collecting it as they are on levying, assessing property taxes. So it's seen as a burden on business.
All right. And they also didn't think that we needed a $22 million back-to-school sales tax holiday as proposed by the governor.
One legislator said that's just not very effective. He didn't see the purpose in that. And again, these are recommendations the governor made in his budget on February 8th.
Yeah, and finally, there was a proposal to bump up the earned income tax credit, which helps lower income people.
Low income, and it's refundable, which means if you don't owe any taxes, you would still get a check. And basically, Republicans felt that we have a pretty good earned income tax credit program now. Let's not sweeten it along the lines of what the governor recommended in February.
All right, so is the governor going to like this or not?
Well, let me tell you what you're going to hear from the governor when in a few weeks he's going to announce his bid for a third term. He's going to say, I like this budget. For number one, it's $639 million more for K-12. Number two, there's no increase in what you and I pay in the gas tax and the vehicle registration fee, with the exception of an electric or hybrid car. I don't know if you own one, Joy. I don't. Mm-hmm. That stays at $75 a year, where it's been since 2008. And the gas tax, 30.9 cents, is going to stay there, where it's been since 2006. He's going to say, he's going to remind people when he announces for re-election that we're going to have a sixth year of a freeze on UW resident undergraduate tuition. He's going to say the property taxes on the median valued home, that mythical median valued home, is going to be less in December of 2018 than it was four years earlier. And he's going to say that he ended the state forestry property tax levy, which is about $90 million a year. So the governor's going to like those 4 or 5 points of the budget.
Yeah. Interesting. What is that forestry property tax levy?
Forestry property tax levy, it's on our homes, and it's basically $14 on that mythical median valued home, and the governor is going to say, I got rid of a state-imposed property tax levy. That was one of his bottom lines, along with controlling property taxes on that median valued home.
Is he going to say that that the state is reinvesting in public education or education?
Yes, he is. That $639 million is going to become a rallying cry. And if you look at the news stories after the governor announced $649 million, there's only a $10 million difference. On February 8th, even Mr. Evers, who's now running against him, called it a pro-kids budget. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, let's take a step back to the transportation budget, which was also agreed upon by Joint Finance Committee this week. This one, as you mentioned, does not raise the gas tax, but it does raise the fee on the hybrids
or
the
electrics. Yes.
Yeah, and this is gonna give us enough money to fix our roads?
No, it's going to produce about $8 billion, which will pay the debt service on the additional $150 million more in bonding. You have to look at the total bonding package of $402 million. $252 million of that is I-94 in Racine County. And as the Democrats pointed out yesterday, that's in Speaker Voss's district. But there's a clause, contingent upon more federal aid. We would bond $252 million more for I-94 in Racine County if we get some additional federal aid. Now, we just got an announcement. We're going to get $66 million more in federal aid. I don't know whether that counts. So, let's talk about the $402 million in borrowing for roads, $252 I-94 in Racine County. The additional $150 is supported. The debt service to pay that off, that additional $150, is the $8 million in additional fees on hybrid and electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Governor Walker wanted to borrow $500 million.
Yes.
The Joint Finance Committee approved a little more than $400 million, which is the lowest amount in more than a decade, apparently. There's not going to be any kick the can down the road complaints over this?
Well, we still haven't solved the long-term problems. I mean, this budget has winners and losers from a highway project standpoint. What's not in there is fixing the north leg of the north extension of the Zoo Freeway. I-94, the east-west freeway from downtown Milwaukee, Miller Park to the State Fair Park, that's not in there. Representatives like Joe Sanfilippo really want that east-west in there. However, it picks winners. I-39 from Madison to Beloit, the Illinois line's in there. And we got a press release yesterday from Fox Valley legislators. Highway 23 is funded. And the interstate in St. Croix County repairs are funded. And that's in the district of Senator Sheila Harsdorf, who happens to be on the Joint Finance Committee.
Yeah, interesting. The state's also going to spend $2.5 million to study tolling.
Tolling.
Oh, who the bell tolls here. How popular an idea are toll roads among the lawmakers?
You know, when you look at Charles Franklin polls, people say, we don't want to pay higher gas taxes. We don't want to pay higher registration fees. We're more open to tolling. But what's lost is the point that Speaker Voss continually makes, that this is a 2 to 3 year process. You need federal approval to toll. You need to retrofit some of our major interstate highways to set up toll booths, to set up the mechanisms that read the readers that we all use when we go to Illinois and Indiana. And you can't get to tolling unless some major things happen. The other side is, once you get to tolling over 3 to 4 to 5 years, it could be a major, major source of new revenue if capital politicians can make the policy decision to phase in tolling.
There's also in this budget, 200 jobs would be cut from the Department of Transportation.
This is very interesting, because 2 years ago there was a policy decision made by Republicans that it's cheaper to design highways and maintenance projects in-house using DOT professionals. Now they reverse that, and they think the budget would lay off, eventually phase out 200 of those same jobs that was added almost 2 years ago.
So do you have a question or a view on the state budget as passed by the Joint Finance Committee? The Joint Finance Committee wrapped up its work on the state budget last night and approved items regarding taxes. As mentioned, the committee rejected Governor Walker's proposed income tax and sales tax cuts, and also rejected an increase in the earned income tax credit. We also welcome your thoughts and questions on the transportation budget, which was also approved by JFC this week, which includes that increase in fees for hybrid or electric vehicles. Do you like that idea or not? What thoughts or questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. Listening to the Ideas Network, I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking state budget issues with Stephen Walters, senior producer for Wisconsin Eye, former Capital Bureau chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The Joint Finance Committee wrapped up its work on the state budget last night, and now it heads to the full Assembly and Senate. Governor Walker says he expects to sign the budget before the end of the summer. And we welcome your questions and thoughts about it. Let's go to John in Appleton first. Hi, John.
Good morning, Joy. Stephen, thanks for taking my call. I've got a couple complaints about this. One, I think Governor Walker had the largest cuts against public education coming into office. I find it rather interesting that in election year now he's turning that around. My other complaint is I'm on the market to buy a car, and I feel like we are penalizing people for trying to do what's right for the environment and buying hybrids. So I'll take my call out there. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, John. So first on the hybrid or electric vehicle, what is the justification for that? And that is a complaint that, hey, I'm trying to be good to the environment, you're going to tax me more money.
In an interview yesterday, the governor told a reporter that that's a parity issue, that your hybrid and your electric vehicles use the same highways as those of us that have gasoline-powered 100% vehicles, so it's a parity issue. And he called it just fair. He again said, look, we're not raising the $75 on, I think it's the 3 million vehicles that are in the fleet who rely on gasoline. So he called that number one, parity. Number two, in his closing remarks yesterday, Mr. Nygren, who you'll be hearing from here in a few minutes, said, yes, we came in 2011 and we had to cut school aids, but we are making, we brought ourselves back in the 2013, 2015, and now 2017 budget. And look at the additional $639 million for K-12 that's in the budget Joint Finance approved yesterday. So Nygren said, yes, we did cut K-12 aids. I'm not defending that. But that's, Mr. Nygren said, we had to do that in 2011 when the Republicans took over the Capitol. And thanks for your call.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Let's go to Gary and Ripon next. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, my question is, at the end of this budget cycle, how much total debt will the state of Wisconsin have?
Thanks for this question. This is a point made by Democrats yesterday. First of all, I didn't anticipate your question, so I can't give you a total number of debt. Here's what I can say. Democrats said yesterday that this budget puts a lien, and that's my term, puts a lien of more than $700 million on the next budget, the 2019-2021 budget. And they justify it this way. We are going to have to pay in the next budget, I believe the figure is $220 million as part of the Foxconn deal. We're going to have to pay an additional $181 million to make up the forestry aid, because when you cut the state levy for forestry, then this budget backfills it with general purpose revenue. And number three, this budget, almost $150 million in the next budget to continue the buy down of the personal property tax. Finally, about $180 million for computer aids to local government. So I can't give you a total indebtedness for state government. I can say that here's what the Democrats are going to say. This budget puts a lien of more than $700 million on the 2019 2021 budget. Thanks for your call.
Yeah. Speaking of Foxconn, the Joint Finance Committee approved the $3 billion incentives plan for Foxconn. Any big changes from what the Assembly passed last month, or is...
No major changes with the exception of that court lawsuits now, initially decided by the Circuit Court, would go immediately to the Supreme Court, which is a rare... Todd Richman, the Associated Press, is reporting it's almost without precedent. That was the biggest change made by Joint Finance. And Joint Finance then, by changing it, teased it up for a Senate vote on Tuesday. And then because Joint Finance in the Senate has changed it, it'll have to go back to the Assembly.
What about the budget? Do you anticipate any changes with the full Senate or Assembly on this?
No, I don't anticipate any major changes. I think this is a budget that's 2 months overdue. This is a budget that passed 7 months after the governor recommended it on February 8th. So I think they've pretty much got the budget where they want it, and I don't look for any major changes. I think you're going to see an Assembly vote next week and maybe a Senate vote the week after that.
And the governor wants to sign it before the end of the summer. What is that, September 21st?
September 22nd. Yeah. Autumn begins on Friday, September 22nd. And I think the governor will do that. And then pretty soon he'll announce his reelection. That's very, very obvious. And then he goes on two trade missions.
And we have less than 30 seconds. So William from Frederick, who wants to know if there are a lot of non-fiscal things included in this budget.
Thanks for the call. Question, William. In comparison to 2 years ago when they tried to gut the public records law, no. However, reading the omnibus motion, Village of Kimberley gets a TIF district, gets some help. And let me find the railroad gate crossing on Fire Lane 12 near the village of Fox Crossing, Wisconsin. So... there's not as many extraneous.
Hey,
as 2 years
I've been
ago.
To that fire lane. So, Steve, thanks very much for being here.
Joy, thank you.
Stephen Welter is a senior producer for Wisconsin Eye. You're listening to the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We now will welcome in the first of two lawmakers to talk more on budget issues. We have with us right now Gordon Hintz, a Democratic state representative from Oshkosh, a member of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So how do you feel about the state budget?
I don't feel that great. I mean, anybody who, you know, was waiting for change or waiting for, you know, some more leadership in government, it's probably time to move on and maybe look for some new leadership. I mean, for the third straight budget, the biggest issue is going to be, you know, our state leader is going to step up and address our transportation funding problem, you know, without relying on more borrowing, without delaying projects, without letting our roads crumble, which are now the third worst in the country, especially when you look at the importance of safety and efficiency for businesses that need to get their goods to services and services to market, and you look at the winters that we have here. The fact that we have now punted on that for three straight budgets, is going to continue to cost taxpayers more in the future. And just remains incredibly disappointing, especially for those who thought, all right, well, if we're going to wait 2 months longer for a budget, at least maybe we'll have some, results in terms of a transportation solution that actually addresses these problems. Instead, we got another study and another punt. And I think the speaker said there would be egg on all of their faces if they don't do something, and it appears there's egg on all of their faces.
Well, there was no increase in the gas tax as mandated by Governor Walker, but there is a new registration fees for hybrid and electric vehicles. It seems to me that you weren't totally opposed to that idea the last time we talked.
Well, I mean, the reality is some comprehensive solution needs to raise revenue. Everybody's pretty much addressed the fact that fuel efficiency has led to less revenue, that inflation has gone up, that people are driving less. You know, we know the problems. We've studied the problems. We've heard the recommendations. Yeah, if we wanted to assess vehicles that don't consume as much gas as a part of a comprehensive solution, sure, you know, that'd be something that could be considered. But don't mistake what was inserted in the budget that targets select drivers as a solution to anything other than getting through the next 2 years. And, you know, Governor Walker said no new fees, no new taxes. But once again, as long as it's on people that want to use our state parks or people that drive electric vehicles or taxes, you know, eroding the benefit of some of taxes that help low-income individuals, he's fine raising those things.
Let me go to Joanne in Milwaukee because she wants to talk about this fee. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. I wanted to point out that most of us who purchased hybrids or electrics are very much concerned about environmental issues. The cost of a hybrid is a lot more expensive than a less fuel-efficient car, and we've already paid higher taxes because of the cost of these vehicles. However, if they are going to impose a tax for fuel efficiency on me as a driver of a hybrid, I'd like to see this money go toward funding the scientists who study issues and who have been wiped out of the DNR. They no longer...
Yeah, Joanne, I'm going to jump in just because we have limited time and many callers, but we get your point. But that's... you can react.
Sure. I mean, I'll just say there's probably more consideration put into that phone call, more thinking into that phone call than in a lot of the decisions that were made in the budget. I think if we were to look at, you know, who uses our roads, what has the biggest impact, heavier vehicles... you know, a comprehensive way to balance these things, there probably would have been a more thoughtful consideration of who pays and who benefits. And I think she highlights another big thing is we've seen a continued deterioration of the once national model of the Department of Natural Resources. You know, we're centralizing control with the Secretary's office, removing independence in the field, and continue to degrade the importance of science and the decision-making in our outdoors.
In a statement, Joint Finance Committee co-chair John Nygren, who we will talk to after the news break, called the transportation budget a step in the right direction. He said reliance on bonding has been limited. It's a, what is it, 400 as opposed to 500 million? He says reliance on bonding has been limited. Important reforms have been adopted. Taxpayers have been told that we won't spend what we can't afford. What's your response to that?
Well, I think they continue to sort of move the goalpost of what success is. I mean, the reality is projects are going to be delayed. Taxpayers are going to pay more. Roads are going to be less safe. They're going to be in worse condition. And we're going to spend money maintaining roads that we're going to tear up. I mean, last year's estimate alone in the Southeast Wisconsin projects was that we are going to spend $20 million a year maintaining roads that were scheduled to be repaired already. You can't say you're fiscally responsible and that this is the best value for taxpayers if you're delaying projects, increasing costs, and spending money on maintenance.
Yeah. Let's go next to Bob and Hurley. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead.
The point I wanted to bring up is I'm a local towns official. and this transportation budget didn't do anything again for our road aids. And one, you know, everybody talks about Southeast Wisconsin and the big road projects. A lot of the roads here are rural, and we've been frozen for so long, we really don't have sufficient funding to take care of the roads that we have. And you're noticing a lot of roads with a lot of patches. And quite frankly, up here, we're seeing asphalt go back to gravel. And that's another big issue because I don't know where the gravel is going to come from.
Representative Hintz, what about northern Wisconsin and towns that are dealing with
roads? You know, I appreciate the call because we're hearing that throughout the state. And in fact, when we had our hearings that the Finance Committee does throughout the state, you know, we heard that from a lot of local officials and just from a lot of citizens who are realizing the erosion that's taken place and the quality, and that we're starting to have towns consider things like additional gravel roads. And again, this it doesn't fall apart overnight, but you are really starting to see it happen. And the longer you wait to fix it, the bigger the problem is going to get and the longer it's going to take to fix. Infrastructure is one of the most important responsibilities for state government. Urban, rural, you know, again, for residential, for, you know, citizens, for businesses, you know, the payback on something like that is much higher and much more important to the economy than anything that they're talking about on Foxconn, for instance.
What about what happened last night? Is the rejection of Governor Walker's $200 million income tax cut and saying no to the $22 million back-to-school sales tax a good thing or not?
Well, I mean, it all depends. I think a lot of people recognize when the governor introduced this budget that it was a political budget really aimed at the 2018 election. You know, he was going to try to steer some money towards more middle-class tax cuts, but the amount was going to be very minimal. I think even Republicans saw that it was sort of, you know, a gimmick that was very costly. Unfortunately, you know, their idea on the best way to spend money was to do a different kind of tax cut that, instead of benefiting the middle class, gave money to some of the wealthiest individuals in the state in the form of the repealing the alternative minimum tax. And the reality is, and this is going to be one of the other narratives, I think, that plays out over the next 2 years, is this is the fourth budget that Governor Walker and the Republicans have now, you know, are going to be passing. And their determination to cut taxes for the wealthiest individuals in the state instead of investing in education, transportation, the UW system, are setting us up for an imbalance at a time when we are, you know, in the ninth year of economic growth nationally, the third longest expansion in U.S. history. We're already facing a deficit going into the next year in both years of this budget, although I have to see what the changes did. We were, Governor Walker's budget at least, we spent more than the revenue that we brought in. And so, you know, I think the decisions that they've made on cutting taxes and cutting revenue are ultimately going to make it more difficult for us to maintain or increase the investments that we're going to need in education and other programs that benefit everybody in our economy.
Yeah, I wanted to also ask you about Foxconn. The Joint Finance Committee also passed the $3 billion incentives plan for Foxconn. Representative Nygren called Foxconn the biggest thing to happen in Wisconsin since the cow. You're not quite as excited as him. Why not?
Well, because, you know, I think there's a huge questions about the feasibility. I think 100% of the risk is with the taxpayers of Wisconsin. Under the best-case scenario, it's going to take a 25-year payback. I think there are numerous questions as to whether the promises made are going to be maintained. I mean, when I hear Governor Walker say, oh, 13,000 jobs and $10 billion of investment, and it's going to be like Silicon Valley. You know, he said shovels will be in the ground next spring and it'll be fully operational by 2020. Well, you know, this is a company that has pledged $27 billion around in four plants around around the world. And that's more than they've spent in the last 23 years combined. You know, and even if it does go forward, there's so many unanswered questions as to how long the jobs have to be here. Will we still be making LCD screens in 5 years, in 10 years? I mean, look, 50% of the state doesn't even have access to broadband. They wouldn't even be able to use these screens. I mean, there are just so many questions about priorities and about feasibility, about risk, about cost, and the biggest one may be opportunity cost. You know, the Republicans and Governor Walker are willing to spend up to $400 million in future budgets, and that'll come at the expense of public education, the UW system. And, you know, I think most people understand that these aren't, you can't buy sustainable economic development, and this is another desperate attempt to try to fix a really poor economic record.
Well, we're out of time, so we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Joy.
Gordon Hintz, Democratic State Representative from Oshkosh, a member of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will welcome in State Representative John Nygren, co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, after this news. Wisconsin's Joint Finance Committee wrapped up work on the state budget last night. And now the $76 billion plan goes to the full Assembly and Senate. Governor Walker says he expects to sign it before the end of the month. We will talk about what's in and what's out of the governor's budget proposal with our next guest, John Nygren, a Republican state representative from Marinette. He co-chairs the Wisconsin Legislature's Joint Finance Committee. If you have questions for him or reactions to what you've heard so far, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Representative Nygren, good morning.
Good morning, Joyce. Good to be with you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for being with us. So what do you think of the state budget that you are sending along now to the full legislature?
Well, before I even get into that, I just want to—I know you will be retiring soon, and I just want to wish you well in your retirement. We got the budget done in time for you to talk about it.
That's right.
We think it's a pretty good product. You know, anytime you deal with a $76 billion document, there's going to be things you like. There's going to be things you don't like so much and things you don't like at all. And as far as from a taxpayer standpoint, we think we met the priorities. You know, we're funding education at historic levels. We're solving funding challenges in education. We're continuing to reduce or freeze tuition at the UW system. And, you know, we're reducing property taxes, reducing the burdensome personal property tax. So at the end of the day, we think it's a pretty good product. We know from a transportation standpoint, we're doing some reforms that are going to save money. We know that we're going to continue to look for waste at DOT, but we also know, and we believe in the Assembly and Republicans, that there is a long-term funding problem. We aren't solving that today, but we're making progress and moving towards that direction. So overall, it's a good budget, and that doesn't solve everything, but does a lot to make Wisconsin stronger and more competitive a state for our people.
Yeah, you called the transportation budget a step in the right direction, but you also just said you didn't solve the long-term transportation funding solution. What is the step in the right direction?
Well, we believe the reforms of the DOT, we're looking at, you know, waste, looking at making sure we're our funds are heading into the right projects, not simply just going to, you know, not just simply being allocated, but that's being spent wisely. You know, prevailing wage, which is controversial to some people, but setting an artificial wage, we don't believe is fair. It should be set by the market and the project, not artificially set. We believe that's going to save money. So there's a number of things in this budget that are going to save money in transportation, but not to the extent of the estimated $1 billion shortfall. We know that. But then if you don't have the resources, something I was taught long ago by my parents, if you don't have the dollars, you don't spend the money. And we're not going to make commitments to projects that we don't have the ability to pay for. And that's something pretty basic. And, you know, that's going to get us to a point where at some point in time, if we don't have the resources, we're going to have that conversation about how we get those resources.
Yeah, your committee approved a little more than $400 million in bonding or borrowing, $400 million for roads rather than the $500 million. So where does that money go?
Well, I mean, it funds the projects that are already on the docket for the state. There's some very high-profile ones that may not or that weren't enumerated in this budget because the resources were simply not available. By the way, that $402 million is, once again, a historic low in borrowing because we believe we're better off to pay as you go and with the resources the people of Wisconsin give us rather than, you know, putting ourselves further and further in debt. So we're going to fund what's important, but there will be some projects that just simply do not happen because the resources are not there.
Yeah, we have Crystal on Facebook who says, I drive a hybrid vehicle and it requires gasoline. I don't understand the increased cost for hybrid vehicles that also run on gasoline. We are paying the same taxes for our gas, so why are we being taxed additionally?
Well, this is something that a lot of states are dealing with. And first of all, not every hybrid will actually be paying additional fees. There's definitions of what a hybrid is. So she'll have to check to see whether hers qualified. But we're looking at is a parity between what the average driver that drives a fully gas vehicle pays in gas tax on average in a year compared to electric vehicles that pay nothing and the hybrids that pay less. They're still driving and putting the same amount of wear and tear on the roads. So this is just a parity issue, like I said, that a lot of states throughout the country are dealing with. It's incrementally a very small fee in the grand scheme of, billions of dollars in the budgets. But once again, we just believe it's a fairness thing.
Yeah. So how come we couldn't reach a long-term funding solution?
There's a lot of people in the Senate and Assembly caucuses, mostly in the Senate, who believe the problem with the DOT is not revenue. They believe it's waste. They believe it's overspending. So that's why we're going to focus on assuring that the dollars are spent as appropriately as we possibly can. There was the audit that was done last year on Department of Transportation. We're going to make sure all those recommendations are implemented. And, some people need to be, this isn't the show me state, but for some it is. They need to be shown that the DOT is using those resources as appropriately as it possibly can before they move to the next level to have that conversation about additional resources.
Let's take some calls. We have, first let's go to Christine in Eau Claire. Hi, Christine.
Good morning. I hope you can hear me. I am concerned because Senator Nygren keeps talking about being fiscally responsible and not spending money we don't have, yet we know that over $200 million will go out of our budget every year for Foxconn with no guarantees. I'm very confused and would like him to address that, please.
Representative Nygren, separate from the budget, the Joint Finance Committee also passed the $3 billion Foxconn incentive bill. How good a deal is that for Wisconsin?
I think it's a great deal for Wisconsin. And 10 years ago, I don't think we would have even been in the game to have this conversation. There are states throughout America that want the Foxconn deal to come to their state. So let's just keep that in perspective that this is an opportunity that we've earned and we're pretty excited about it. So is it a good deal? And the so-called guarantees. Foxconn is estimating that they're going to invest $10 billion in capital. There's tax credits based on that investment in capital. If the investments in capital aren't made, there's no credits. Okay, so they're also saying that there could be up to 13,000 jobs. On the other side of the equation, we already talked about the capital credits. Now the job credits. The job credits don't come if the jobs don't come. So I'm not sure what guarantee people are looking for, but if the brick and mortar isn't built, no credits. If the jobs don't come, no credits.
Let's go next to Ann in Green Bay. Hi, Ann.
Hello. Well, I would like to say that I'm very disgusted with this whole Supreme Court issue with the Foxconn. This is a court that should not be given all this power. It should go for the lower courts like it always does and has done for many years. And is this the court that's supposed to be independent and work for the people, not for the corporations? And I'm just disgusted by this.
Well, why is this Foxconn? Explain what happened. The JFC did approve that the Foxconn issue of the environmental impact statement is going to go directly to the Supreme Court and not the lower courts?
No, if there's a lawsuit, first of all, it does go to the lowest court. But if there's appeals, rather than having it tied up in litigation, which unfortunately is the world we live in, that we know if you don't win at the ballot box, if you don't win in the legislature passing a bill that you want or voting against something you don't want, we know that one of the options that's out there on either side is to tie things up in court and to basically stop this opportunity for the 5.7 million people that live in Wisconsin. Just a few people can do that. So they have their day in court. If there's appeals, rather than continue to go through all these levels of bureaucracy or of a court, that immediately goes to the Supreme Court. And that, I'm not sure why people would have a problem with that, because you still get your day in court, and I would say you get your day in court and your final answer on your concern sooner rather than delaying this issue for potentially years.
All right. So she thought that the fix was in. You want to react to that? That the Supreme Court would just side with the state and with Foxconn.
Well, I'm not. I mean, the courts are independently elected. They're a separate branch of government. I'm not sure why that thought would be, why somebody would assume one way or the other. I don't always agree with the way that Wisconsin Supreme Court rules, and I believe that they would make fair and impartial decisions. So I can't speak to, you know, something that has not happened.
Yeah, so when we first started, you said that this budget, you know, there's some things you like, some things you don't like. What don't you like about this budget?
Well, as I said, I'm disappointed that we aren't having a long-term funding solution for transportation. That's something the Assembly Republicans believed was appropriate as something that we needed to do. Yet in government, you know, the Assembly is one branch of the legislature, the Senate is the other, and then we have the administrator and the governor. We are not on the same page on this issue. So at the end of the day, we'll make incremental changes rather than going as far as we thought we needed to go and, you know, live to battle another day.
Yeah. Well, so do you expect this document to just fly through the Assembly and the Senate then?
Yeah, I mean, we are a few months late. I would say I'd rather take our time and get it right. Now, we didn't get 100% right, but we're pretty close. And because it's, you know, a couple months late, more than anything, this has been a very vetted budget. There's been a lot of discussion, a lot of debate. So when it actually comes to the floor for consideration, while I'm sure, you know, the Democrats will, you know, put up a significant amount of debate on it, I do believe it will pass the Assembly and the Senate with flying colors and be signed into law probably within a couple weeks by the governor.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
John Nygren, Republican State Representative from Marinette. He co-chairs the Wisconsin Legislature's Joint Finance Committee. We also heard from Gordon Hintz, who is a Democratic State Representative from Oshkosh and a member of the Legislature's Joint Finance Committee. And we started off with Stephen Walters, Senior Producer for Wisconsin Eye and former Capitol Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, all talking with us about the Joint Finance Committee last night wrapping up its work on the state budget. It now goes to the full Assembly and Senate, and Governor Walker wants to sign it by September 22nd. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Keely Boltina for producing this hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.